Hey, Rylan, come up here, sweetie. Come here real quick. Just come up here real quick. Hey, we're going to just come pray for you. Come here, baby. I saw her kind of fighting, and then she ran. I thought, oh, that's good. That's good news. That's good news. Hey, so this is who David was talking about here. So Rylan here gave her life to the Lord last week. And so it was a beautiful thing. And so we have a lot of little kids here. She's going to get baptized next Sunday. And so we have a lot of little kids here, and we have a very faithful church with a lot of faithful families. And so we see a lot of kids starting to see the Lord and know the Lord and submit to the Lord. And that's a beautiful thing, right? And so in that, it's hard at times. It's hard because they're still children. And so children still think like children. And so when Rylan gave her life to the Lord, she didn't automatically become an adult Sunday school teacher, right? She still acts like a child. And so sometimes for parents, for moms and dads, it's very hard. I went through it with my two boys who were saved at a very young age. And so you have questions and concerns and hesitations, and it's just challenging at times. But here's the beautiful thing, because this is what we teach at Eastview. We teach at Eastview that salvation comes from your belief in God and God alone. Amen. In your faith, in your submission, in your desperate need of a Savior. And so at times we all grew up in churches where it's like, if you believe, well, then that's enough. Well, that's not salvation. Salvation is that you are in desperate need of God's sovereign and good grace and mercy on your life, and that you submit your life to Him. And so when this family came to our home that night, the one thing that Rylan said in her 8 years of life, right, not being a Sunday school teacher, I said, sweetheart, tell me what salvation is. Tell me what Jesus is in your life. And she says, I know that I need Jesus. And I said, well, amen, sister, right? And so sometimes I think we do a very poor job of teaching salvation, but sometimes we really muddy the waters and complicate it. And so a little girl saying, I know I need a Savior, is more than enough for us. And so we are very, very thankful for God saving her life. And so this is who David was speaking about. My son, London here, come here, big guy. London is her friend and in school with her. And so my son is going to pray for her life and give thanks for God saving her. So let's bow our heads and pray us into service.
Thank you, God, for this world, for this day. I want to pray that Rylan can go tell other people about Jesus, and so that they can live the life that she has. And I want to pray that she can walk with you and learn more about you through her life. And I want to pray that we can have a good rest of our time today. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Okay, let's talk about marriage and family and husbands and wives. Let's get uncomfortable now. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. If you're new to the church, this is week 8. Next week is the last week in Ephesians. This is a 9-week study. God has been good to us. This has been a very good deep dive in this phenomenal book. If you're new or you need a reminder, Ephesians is a letter of the New Testament written by the Apostle Paul. He is in prison in Rome. He is writing to the church believers a letter of encouragement and hope and a call to faithful living in Ephesus. And so one thing that we have said here for the last few months, even when we started, this is a 6-chapter book. It is cut down the middle. The first 3 chapters are, this is the gospel. This is what saved our sister Rylan in the finished work of Jesus Christ, in that we are saved by what He has done. Nothing that we deserve, nothing that we are, nothing that your parents have done for you or anyone can earn for you. It is always undeserving. It is the free gift of God's grace. And Paul says, when you hold tightly to that, within the next 3 chapters are how to faithfully live it out. And so what does Paul say? He says, put on the new self. Put on the new self. And so we have spent the last like 3-4 weeks, even on Easter, talking about what that looks like. How to treat one another, how to love one another, how to give towards one another, how to serve selflessly to one another. And then Paul takes this pivot, in which it seems to be misplaced. We're going to talk about how it's not. And he starts talking about family. He starts talking about marriage. He starts talking about men. He starts talking about women. He starts talking about children. And so we're going to read the text together, jump in, pray, and then start to flesh it out. Look at verses 22. Look at verses 22. God's Word says this in Ephesians 5. Wives, women, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Highlight 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. And He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, highlight this. Love your wives just as Christ has also loved the church, and He gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the Word, that He might present to her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle of any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Highlight 28, church. So husbands, men, ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does His church. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. For this reason a man, quoting Genesis, for this reason a man shall leave his father and leave his mother and be joined to his wife, and two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Kiddos, listen to chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the name of the Lord. For this is right. Honor your father and honor your mother, which is the first commandment in Exodus, with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live a long life on earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children. Or some of your Bibles say, lead your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and encouragement of the Lord. And so we were going to church this morning, and my kids will at times say, hey, Dad, what are you preaching on? What are you going to be speaking on this morning? And so we're in the van, and I said, hey, we're going to be talking about what it means to be a husband and a godly wife and a parent and all of these things. And my son, London, just kind of laughs and says, like, I'm not any of those things. I'm not a husband, I'm not a wife, I'm not married, I'm 8 years old or 9 years old, like I'm very young. I need to remember the age of my child. I got too many. He says, I'm young. What is being married or being engaged or being a husband or wife, what does that have to do with me? And what I said to my young son, I said, buddy, for you to understand what God calls you to before He calls you to it could mean everything to you. It is oftentimes, it can feel like and be too late when you start to learn the things of God when it directly applies to you in the moment. And so I have been talking and praying for godly spouses for my children since they were one. I remember being in my oldest son's room at age 4 and talking to him about how to look for a godly wife back when he was still playing on swing sets on the playground. Because when it comes time for this, I want their eyes to be so focused on, listen, I hope that they're attractive and I'm attracted to them and that we laugh and I like their families and we jive really well. But beyond all things, I want whoever it is that I say yes to love the Lord more than anything in life. So no matter who you are this morning, it applies to you. If you're a grandparent, it applies to you. If you are single, it applies to you. Because someone maybe has someone for you, or maybe you stay single, maybe you're a grandparent and you're past the time where you need to know all of these things. You've already said yes and you've been married for many, 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 many years, but someone will come to you and seek counsel and seek advice, and God's Word wants you to be prepared to give it in a biblical way. So in chapter 5, what we have here is some of the most famous and important and known words when it comes to what God has as the spiritual formula for the family. So when you do like marriage counseling, premarital counseling, when you talk about being a parent or what is a godly wife or what is a godly husband, it would be almost impossible for anyone to teach on those subjects and not land on Ephesians 5 at some point. So all in the Bible, what you and I are going to unpack is some of God's greatest instructions for the home. And so this week, Paul writes and speaks about marriage. He speaks about children. He speaks about parenting. He speaks about authority. He talks about submission. He gives us the formula. And it's important because this, the formula for a godly home has often been lost today. So young people, listen to me. The formula for a godly family has been lost today. There are very few things, even since sin's birth in the garden, that has caused more destruction than the fall of the family. Amen? If you look at poverty and racism and war and destruction globally, and you start to dig and dig and dig and dig and go, man, what drives this? At some point, you're going to hit the rock of the family. You're going to see that the downfall of marriage and how we've polluted it has literally fallen on the people that are in the home. And so not only has the formula for the family been lost, it's often been distorted inside the church and outside the church. And so even within God's church, we have distorted it. And so many of you know this story. You've been a part of a church, or you hear about these churches that look about roles in the home, like what is a man and what is a woman and what constitutes marriage. Even in the church, even in your community, people inside the body have distorted the formula. Well, what is a man? It's not complicated what a man is. What does God really say about marriage? It's not complicated what God says about marriage, but even the church has distorted some of these teachings, even though the Bible is covered with instructions for the home. You don't have to flip in your Bibles, but as early as Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, in chapter 2, God said, "It is not good that man shall be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him," as God sees fit. So as early as Genesis, we see God's instruction for the home. We see that as early as Genesis, at the beginning of time, God had a specific call and instruction for roles in the home concerning men and women. We see in Genesis, we talked about this in our sexuality study, we see the formula of the gift of sex. The gift of sex, the purpose of sex. We see why men are different than women and women different than men, and how men should be leading the home and the role of the woman, and how children should follow. The formula is not complicated. In the Old Testament, we see in Proverbs the impact of having a faithful spouse. Thousands of years ago, quote, Solomon, the wisest man, says that, listen, homes, wealth, man, those are great, but to have a godly wife, that is a gift from God. For some of you guys to have a godly spouse, someone who loves the Lord and is faithful to the Lord, do you ever just count your blessings and go, man, I am so thankful that the one that I live every day with loves Jesus? Do you ever think that? Well, the Bible is very clear with it. You can be blessed in a lot of ways, But man, there is very few things that's a greater gift than a godly spouse. In 2 Corinthians, for my young people that are not married or whoever you are, whatever your age is, Paul, the same writer of Ephesians, tells us in 2 Corinthians about dating. He gives us the formula in which I pray for my kids that I just gave you. He says, listen, do not be unequally yoked. Why? What does that even mean? He says, hey, listen to me. There's a lot of things that are important. You need to jive well. You need to enjoy time with. However, there is nothing more important in a spouse when you're choosing a partner, when you're starting to court, than them loving the Lord. Paul says that thousands of years ago. There is nothing more essential in the Bible. Moses and Abraham and Paul and David and Peter, they all gave us instruction for the formula for the family to be faithfully successful. However, guys, if you can just look around in life and culture and even in your own experiences, not only was man born in the graveyard, man has a desire to always go back to it. And so when it comes to instruction, men in general, man in general, always has this tendency to look at instructions and want to do it the same way. Or a different way, I mean. And so yesterday, as we had all of these men out here doing all of this stuff, we had millions of dollars of equipment. We had so many things that were here that were so above me, I could barely weed eat. I was like, man, like I can pick weeds. And we had all these guys doing all these crazy things. We were knocking down walls and pulling out dirt. All of this wild things. And then there was this one little group. There was this one little group of three men that got suckered into building some playground equipment, right? No machinery, no expensive rigs, just a small little book of instructions. And then I saw all these men do this, and I said, hey guys, find the area that you want to serve. I just looked at all those boxes and I saw no men there, right? I was like, nobody wants to do this. And so I guilted three guys of going over there. Because sometimes instructions can be complicated. Instructions can be overwhelming. And the more steps instructions have, sometimes it frustrates or it confuses. And so man, throughout history and in the Bible and today, when it comes to the family, we've often seen or we've heard the instructions from God. And we say, well, listen, I still want to try to do it my way. Like, I know, you guys ever put a bike together? Like, I know what the instructions look like, but I think that I can do it better. I think that I can do it my way. And then you get done with it and you go, man, like, why do I have so many parts left over? Probably was not supposed to be that way. That is the family. And so what we have now in our culture, we have roles in the home that are often confused. Men act like women. Women act like men. We have turned in the blessing and the gift of sex into this shameful act that is grotesque and profited on. We have polluted marriage with homosexuality and being unequally yoked with one another. We have parents that are being led by their children versus parents leading their children. We have really messed up concerning following the formula and the directions that the Bible gives concerning the family. And so we often sit here and we try to do things our own way, or we listen to outside voices, or we follow what we believe that our heart is leading us to, versus just submitting our lives and our thoughts to the Bible. So what does the Bible tell us about the home? What does the Bible, not Hunter's words, what does the Bible say about marriage? What does the Bible say about women? What does the Bible say about men? And so you could spend weeks on this. You could have a conference and spend half a year just teaching through what you and I are going to do, hopefully in 45 minutes. And so here is the encouragement that I want you to have. I'm going to pray over us. The encouragement is, I hope that we can remove all of the things that we thought that we knew and all the things that we maybe desire in doing it ourselves, and just submit through the formula that God has given us. And so if you are married here today, this will be a blessing to you. If you're a child here today, this will be a blessing to you. If you have people that you know that are married who come to you for advice, this will be a blessing to you. If you have kids, this will be a blessing to you. And so we're going to pray over it. And I want you to feast your eyes on the formula that God has given us, that it changes our home. Let's bow our heads. God, we thank you for today. As we jump into something that has caused so much destruction, but then also so much peace, depending on what we have submitted to, I pray that we see your good news in your foundation and formula for the family. What you call men to do and to be, what you call women to do and to be, children, how we parent, how we shepherd, how we lead, how it flows into responsibility, into the church and outside. I pray that we remove all the things that culture and entertainment and society and our friend groups try to beat into us, and we just feast our eyes with how you made the family. And how you make the family is for your glory, but it is also for our good. So I pray, as David said, I pray that we even see salvation in the beautiful gift of the family. In your precious and in your holy name, amen. So ladies, we start with you. My wife, Wendy, here is teaching 3 months on what we're going to try to do in about 15 minutes, okay? So it says in two verses, 22:2-24, it says, wives, submit. Will you highlight that? Wives, submit. Submit to who? Your own husbands, as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is a head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. And so in today's time and in today's culture, and maybe your own heart, when someone says the word submissive, what often is translated is oppressive. And so when I say God has called you, ladies, to submit to your husbands, what you sometimes internalize is this bullying oppression that you are less than, right? And so this has become a huge problem in our culture, and this is why so many of us struggle with the idea of authority on all wavelengths. And so we don't like the idea of being submissive to anybody, men or women. And so the idea of government, the idea of lawmakers, the idea of law enforcers, like, we are not going to show them any respect. We are not going to show them any following. Like, you work for us, right? That's how we view teachers. If our kids don't get the grade they want, we're going to make sure they hear about it. That's how we treat our coaches. All of our kids are so much better than every coach realizes. All of our kids need more playing time, and they don't understand. They haven't tapped into the greatness that we know about our children. So we let our coaches hear about it. Our employers, I'm amazed at the amount of disrespect and ungratefulness employees have for the ones that hired them. Pastors, there's no authority, right? I think most churches believe that, like, I work for you, right? Like, you're up there, you're the entertainer, pastor. Like, I can remove you if I want to remove you. There's no spiritual authority. Like, you and I hate the idea of authority on all levels. And so what we see is this type of heart disease is what drives many lost and saved with the problems that they have with their Creator. I said this months ago, guys, man does not have an issue with God. The lost. Man does not have an issue with Creator and heaven and grace and Savior. It is not until God's Word becomes authority does man have an issue, right? And so if the Bible was filled with God created you and God loves you and He says just have at it, you know the church would be filled. But it wasn't until God's Word starts stepping on the things that you're doing that He calls you not to, that's when we have problems. And so listen to me, how does that deal with marriage? If you and I have a hard time submitting to our Maker, we're going to have a very hard time submitting to the one who married us. And so submission is not something that anyone really thrives in. But you know what God's Word tells us, ladies? It says for any healthy relationship to exist, there will always be a level of submission to it. So it says, I told you to highlight, this isn't my words. If it makes you uncomfortable or you don't like it, like this isn't my view on things, God's Word says it. In verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife. And also as Christ is the head of the church. That is what God calls women to in the home. That there is a leader and there is someone who helps. It's biblical. It's from Genesis to the New Testament to today. So have you ever tried to teach someone that didn't want to learn? It's very hard to do. Have you ever tried to coach someone that didn't want to be coached? It's very hard to do. Have you ever tried to lead someone that did not want to follow? It's almost impossible to get anywhere. God's view in the formula for marriage consists of distinct roles, a formula for faithful success that will bless and benefit all people in that home. It is not crazy thinking. It's not Old Testament theology. It is very point blank, black and white. That is why and how God created us differently. And so listen to me. Been married 18 years, and I've bragged and bragged and bragged on my wife to the point from the pulpit. People have often said, hey, Hunter, you talk too highly of your wife. But listen to me, I'm not going to stop bragging on my wife. I love my wife. And the more you tell me not to do it, the more I want to do it. My wife is awesome. My wife is amazing. My wife is faithful concerning men and women. I know very few people that are in their Bible and faithful to serving the church more than my wife. She is a faithful champion. She is not the leader of her home. She does not need to be the leader of her home. My wife graduated number one at Union in her class. She is leaps and bounds more intelligent concerning her husband. She will tell you she does not need to be leading her home. And any time that my wife is put in a position where she has to take the mantle of leading her home, it is never for the good of the home. My wife knows what is in her. She knows why she was created. She knows the blessings and gifts that she has. She knows the roles the Bible has defined. She knows all of the gifts in which was poured upon her. And she knows the formula for a faithful and successful home. Men were meant to lead. Women were meant to be the help. Now listen to me. This is what's wild. I even wrote this in my notes. As I sat at my desk, hear me out, church. As I sat at my desk and I wrote that statement, okay? Things aren't just flying out of my mouth. I know what I'm saying. As I sat at my desk and I wrote, men are meant to lead and women are meant to help, I hesitated. And I thought, that sounds harsh. Like, that sounds uncomfortable. How can I say that? And I thought this. I didn't write it. I said, men are meant to lead. Women are meant to pause. Like, how can I say something else that someone's not going to give me the rock eyebrow, right? It's biblical. It's what the Bible says. This is not my opinion. This is not my view. This is not just what I desire. From Genesis to Revelation to today, it is the formula for a faithful home. If you look at Genesis, it's why women were created. They were created because God saw that it's not good for man to do this. He's not able to do this on his own. And wives were created to walk beside him as this beautiful gift, as a helper. So there's a few points that I want to make because we're not going to spend a ton of time on it. So I think we have a slide. We have a handful of slides. I want you to see these things if you're a note taker. Number one, ladies, differences of roles does not mean differences of importance. Different roles do not mean different worth. Man is not greater or loved more by God than women. He simply holds a different position. Women are just as important, they are just as valued, and they are just as loved as from God as men are. Number two, submissive does not mean silent. Submissive does not mean quiet. And so if you have this old school mentality that you were brought up in the South and this is what you saw in your grandparents and your parents, and it's this whole kind of like, I am man, you listen and you speak when you are... No, hey, that is not biblical. I want you to think about this, men. Listen to me. If that's how you lead, hear me out. The reason that women were created because God saw that you weren't able to do this alone. You weren't just thriving. God looked at man and said, man, this is not good for man to do this by himself. And so we do not leave as this oppression or oppressive type bullying. No, we are to seek opinions and thoughts and help and counsel and direction with our mate, with women, with our spouse. That is why they were created. So submission does not mean silence. Third, on the topic of submission, women are not called to follow their husbands into sin. Do you hear me? Women are not called to submit and follow their husband in the things that oppose God. And so it is possible, it is very hard to do, but it is possible for a woman to stand with God in opposition to her husband in a loving and graceful way that still shows her husband that she wants him to lead, wants him to lead her closer to the Lord. And so listen to me, there's many examples that you could follow here, but one of the most famous ones that we see in the church today, if your husband goes, hey, listen, I don't have time for the church, well, enjoy your time on Sunday morning by yourself. Like, I'm not sitting here. Hey, buddy. I'm not sitting here. I'm not sitting with you on Sunday morning and camped out with our kids because you don't want to get dressed and you don't understand the importance of the body. Like, that's not what we are doing. I'm not following you into sin and the things that oppose God. But God calls us to do it, ladies, in a loving and graceful way that champions Him to step into the role that God has placed Him in. Lastly, the helper role is not a less than position, but an amazing opportunity. So ladies, no matter how old you are, from my little girls, I want you to look at my face. To be a woman and a wife, a grandmother, is not a less than position, but an amazing opportunity to make everything better. That is why you were created. That's what we talked about in our sexuality study. God does not love man more. He does not see man as greater. He created women because He sees man and He says, listen, I desire you in existence to come alongside man and make everything better. In my leadership experience in the home, in the church, and in the world, some of the greatest blessings of my life have been women. Have been women who have poured their gifts and their talents and their ministries, which propel all of the things that I have seen men try to lead. Women are not a less than position. It is an amazing opportunity. That is why God created you. So as we close on the women talk, ladies, embrace it. It is not oppressive. It is not negative. It is biblical. Pour yourself into it and God will bless it. So as we go into our men here, women, you had three verses and men, you got a few more. So listen to this in 25. Husbands, love your wives. Men, love your wives just as Christ has also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing water by the Word, that He might present her to Himself glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. It says in 28, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does His church. For we are all members of the body of His flesh and of His bones. 31. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a greater mystery that I speak concerning Christ and the church. Men, highlight 33. Nevertheless, let each one of you particularly love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So ladies, we see why there has to be a helper, because the type of weight that men carry. Men were created to lead and love in the same way that Christ has loved and led His church. I know Stoney gave 10 points in his Sunday school class. We were talking about like how that is done. Like how does Christ love His bride? And it is a heavy weight. It is at times an overwhelming weight that men have been called to. Men have been called to die to oneself, to be the last one off the ship, to be the last one in line. And that is a heavy weight, men. There are times, I got a family of six, and there are times when you start divvying out to mama and child and child and child, by the time it gets to me, there's like nothing left. And there are moments where that is tiring, isn't it? It is hard to die to oneself and constantly live pushing to make sure the home is standing. That is challenging to do. That is leadership. It is hard to live a life that sanctifies the wife, to live in such a way that the people in your home can stand before God holy and faithful and obedient through the life that you led them in. And so here's a hard reality if you're a note taker. People in your home who follow the Lord will follow the Lord because your life or in spite of it. You hear me? Like, write it down. Take it slow. So there are people, and we all know those people. There are people that go, man, my dad was a faithful man. He loved the Lord. He loved the church. He loved his family. He loved his bride. He led us. He prayed with us. He poured into us. He modeled the greatness of who Christ is. And I love Jesus because the love that I saw that my dad had for Jesus. And then there are some who say, I love the Lord in spite of what I saw in my father. My dad did not love the Lord. My dad loved himself more than my mom. My dad put the world ahead of my family. Men are called to lead and love his family, walk with his family in a way that he could present his family to the Lord as faithful. It's a heavy weight, church. And so, ladies and men, listen to me. With that type of weight to lead a family faithfully, there has to be a helper. Because I don't think men can do that on their own. And so it's not oppressive, it is a great opportunity. So let me paint you a picture for everybody in the room, no matter how old you are, married or not, listen to me. Let me paint you a picture of the formula. Godly boy loves godly girl. And godly boy loves God and he loves his girl and he leads faithfully. He understands his role. Well, godly girl loves the Lord. She loves man, she encourages man, she supports man, and she helps man. Very simple formula. Think about how that home would bless the children in that picture. Think about the peace and the harmony experienced in each role in that family. Think about the ministry that they would be able to accomplish in that home. How simple and a wonderful formula does that sound? So what happened? If it is such a simple formula, what happened? Well, it's not very complicated. At some point or another, man, being men, somewhere in the formula did not place God first. Somewhere in history, man did not place God first. And when you don't place God first, you can never love the way that God called you to love. And so listen to me, a lost man cannot love his wife the same way that a saved man can. And so when you don't put God first in your life, if you have idols or whatever it is, you can't love your family the way that God has called you to love your family. And so the breakdown at some point consists of man not placing God first. And when man doesn't place God first, we have a distorted vision for his leadership. And so the men of the home start storing up more for himself, or they parent in a way where they say, I just want my kids to have more than I had growing up, or we lead our kids to idols. Think about that. Wouldn't that be so hurtful to find out that those kids that you love, that wife that you love, you've actually intentionally led them to the things that are going to destroy them? Isn't that heavy? Like, can you imagine finding out that those kids that you love so much that you actually intentionally led them to idols that are going to drown them? Well, that's what happens when man does not place God first. And so somewhere in the formula, man started undeservingly sitting in the leadership seat. And so now his leadership seat consisted of, I am man, listen to me. I am bigger, I am stronger, I am louder, and the Bible says to listen and to follow. So at that point, woman has a very hard time respecting man. She has a hard time following man. And so either one or two things happens. She fights man, which is never good, or she follows man into the swamp, which is never good. And so women have to start picking up all of the man's real responsibilities, right? And so we see this today more than ever. What we see is we see women really being the main voice of character in their children in the home. We see the women always praying and always reading the Bible with their children more than the man. We see women leading the church. We see women teaching all the classes. We see women doing all the work. Our churches are polluted with it. Women that have had to step into the shoes of men spiritually because men will not do it, but men continue to sit in the leadership seat. Because I am man. And so now we have roles reversed. And that brings damage to the church. It brings damage to the home. And it does damage to our culture. And one generation pours into the next, into the next, into the next. And when we listen to all of these breakdowns and we dig and we dig and we dig, the breakdown in the family at some point will consist of the breakdown of men. And so hear me. Please hear me, guys. Hear me. I will often counsel with women. I will counsel with families and marriage, and I will have people that will sit with me, and it will be a lady, and there's awful sin. There are things that they have done that they are not proud of, that they're ashamed of. Like, I have sinned against God and my family. I've really messed this up. Or maybe it's kids. And you know where my mind goes? Let me see dad. Let me see husband. And I'm always told the same thing. No. He didn't do anything. It was her. It was them. Like, he was okay. He didn't do the things that she did. And I'm not saying he deserved what she did. I'm not saying that he's at fault. But what I am saying is when you see breakdowns in the home, if you dig far enough or deep enough, you're going to find man placing something else first besides God. That is why it is so important to raise and disciple and encourage godly men. Godly men. So for our older, for our wiser men of faith, spend time encouraging our younger men of faith. Spur them on to leading their families. Spend time with them. Disciple them. Pour into them. Encourage them. I told all of our men, this is what I love about like yesterday. Yesterday was more than just doing things at the church. It was faithfulness of men. And so we walk around and we plant little seeds of, guys, thank you. Isn't this great to serve your church and to be faithful with it? We are meant to encourage those men because we need those men to be leaders of their home and of their church. For our parents, we are called to raise future men, not future boys. And so what we see in Proverbs, it says in Proverbs that when you have a child, raise them up to love the Lord more than anything of this life, because it will bless everyone they're involved with. That's what we're called to do as parents. Not raise our children to love this world or be successful in this world, but more than anything, to be a leader in his home and a leader in his church. And what's hard, guys, for some of you, no one's ever told you this. And so this is how your grandfather acted and your father acted, and you've never had good examples of godly men. What I'm encouraging you to do is to break the chain. Break the chain. We get so proud of ourselves being the first one to graduate college or something of that nature. I want our men of this church to be, more than anything, to break the chain of godly headship and leadership in your home. I love my wife and I love my children. I display it the greatest by leading them to faith. Wives, cheerlead your men's faith even when it's small. When roles are reversed, and maybe you have had to pick up a lot of the slack that men have had to do in your life, women can often become frustrated and angry. And there are times right now, I know there is a woman in this room that's looking at their husband going, I hope you're listening. I hope you hear this. And the men are even thinking, like, when I get in that car, she's going to ask me, like, what'd you think? What did you hear, right? Ladies, we are meant to encourage and love and follow and cheerlead even the smallest acts of faith in our men. It's hard, I know. But listen, barking with very little encouragement rarely works. And so right now, I've told you before, I coach soccer and I really enjoy coaching soccer and encouraged and being out there with my kids, and my kids love it and it's fun to me. And so right now, I have this team and there's this one kid that's probably a little bit more developed than others. And so right now, he's on this team where maybe there's some holes, maybe there's some people that aren't as talented. And what I've noticed in this kid is, like in a game time situation, this child gets kind of angry. And he gets very frustrated. And as he has gotten better, and he has seen holes in his other teammates, he has started to let them know of their problems, right? And so there is nothing for this kid to look at his teammate and go, man, speed up. Young child, speed up. Get in your position. Like, play defense. Like, he will bark at them. But this is what I've also noticed. When they do something good, like, the idea is, like, it's about time. Like, he's not cheering with them. He's like, hey, listen, thank goodness you decided to do something helpful. Listen to me. I sat with that child and said, hey, as a leader, I know you are wanting your other teammates to step up. You want them good for the success of the body. I understand all of those things. But barking with no encouragement rarely works. And so for ladies, if right now you are in a relationship and you say, man, like, my husband is not the spiritual leader of my home, barking at them constantly to do so is not going to be very effective. What we can do as ladies, or what you can do as ladies, is encourage and cheerlead even the smallest acts of faith in your husbands. Thank you for going to church with our family. Thank you for leading us in prayer at dinner. Love them, encourage them, throw coals on their fire. That is what men need, because it's a heavy weight on men to lead. For all of my guys that might feel discouraged because you know that maybe you're not doing a wonderful job in this area, listen to me. My wife is a pastor's kid and a good version of it. And so when I met my wife, I did not know anyone like Wendy. I didn't even know that type of Christianity existed. And so I came into the picture lost. I came into the picture not knowing what came after Genesis. I had no involvement in the church. I had no Christian people around me. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I didn't have a Christian mom and dad or a brother. Like, this was all new to me. And here Wendy was, this kind of like faithful giant as a young person. Hey guys, listen to me. The gulf, men, listen to me. The gulf between my wife and me, it was unthinkable. Like, when we got married, when we said I do, I was not the spiritual leader of my home. It was years and years and years until I got to a space where I said, hey, listen, I want and understand and desire to lead these people. My wife spiritually overwhelmed me at times because I knew how insufficient that I was. But here's the wonderful thing that my wife did. My wife knew that her husband needed to lead. That was the formula that God had designed for the success of everyone in that home. And barking at me to do better and be more was not the answer. She encouraged even the small things that I did. And in time, man, listen to me. In time, I became the leader of my home. And so this is as we close right here, okay? I want you to turn to 1 Timothy. This is where we close up. Brent called me and him and I were talking about this, and it's a beautiful thought here. I want you to see it. As you turn your Bibles, turn to 1 Timothy 3. As you flip, understand in the five chapters that we have read in Ephesians, Paul's covered a lot of ground. He's talked about theology and belief. He's talked about faithful living. And there's a time where you can read, and I've even heard some scholars talk about how in Ephesians 5, it's just weirdly placed. Like, why is he talking about marriage and women? Like, he's in prison. Like, is he kind of ranting on? Did he forget the point of his letter? It doesn't really make sense here. But listen, it is perfectly placed. See, Paul's letter in Ephesians has one central theme, okay? It is the glory of God and how it affects the unity of the people. And so everything in Ephesians is about unity in the church. And so listen to what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 4, it says, "One who rules his own home well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man," this is the qualification of leaders in the church, "for if a man does not know how to lead his own home, how will he ever take care of the people of God in the church of God?" So listen to me. In Ephesians 5, it is not random. It is not misplaced. Paul understands it is important for men to lead his home. Because if a man can lead his home, then he will be able to lead God's church. And so for our men that can't lead and shepherd his own family, well, then the church is in trouble. And so what we have in our young boys, if you have young boys, man, I am teaching them how to treat women, how to look for a wife, because I want them to be warriors for his bride. And so as we close in prayer, women, cheerlead your husbands. We have a faithful and amazing church. One thing that stands out in our church is the faithfulness of its men. There's a lot of things that kind of are distinct about each few. And one of them is we have so many men who care, who are learning, who are growing. Women, throw fire in that engine. Throw fire in that engine. Keep going, cheerlead, encourage. Love your husbands well. Walk beside them. Barking with little encouragement very rarely works. Men. And then ladies, submission does not mean oppressive. Remember that. It's an opportunity. It's not a less than position. Men, you were created to lead. You were created by God to lead. That is a beautiful gift. That is a beautiful opportunity. Lead well. As we close, eyes on me, come on. Lead well. If you have not led well, sit with your family today and seek forgiveness. I have not led well. I know I haven't. I seek forgiveness in it. I desire to lead my family well. Remember last week, there's no greater day than today than to be faithful. Let's bow our heads. God, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for all that you do. We thank you for the privilege of leadership. We thank you for the honor to be helpers. We thank you for the formula that you gave us. We thank you for the path that you designed. Lord, we know that in our culture, in our world, we have lost and distorted your formula for the family. We are sitting here holding a lot of excess parts because we have tried so much to do it our way. And in that, there are so many, and I pray our church hears me right now. There are so many here right now, globally, that have led, but they have led their families into hardship. They have ushered their children into idol worship. They have led their wives into spaces of unfaithfulness. And Lord, help us as men repent. Help us as men sit in the leadership role that you gave us, and let us be faithful in it. That more than money, more than privilege, more than power, more than position, that we desire to lead our brides, our grandchildren, our children, our loved ones to a greater life of faith. For my ladies, let them hear their calling and their role as a position of opportunity. Our ladies were created to make things better. To cheerlead, to encourage, to love, to nurture, to help. It is in their DNA. Lord, let them be faithful in it. Let them throw coals in the fires of the men who lead them. Let us not stray away from the formula that you have given us for the faithful family. Lastly, Lord, for our young people, our kids that are not married, that are very young of age, let them be taught what you have in store for them, what you have called them to be leaders of your home and leaders of their family, to be helpers of their spouse. Let us do a good job of teaching them, not as the world teaches them, but as your scriptures teach us. In your precious and your holy name, the church says, Amen.